appreciate supporters like you.
Hello and good evening. You are listening to WEFT 90.1 FM radio, and of course you can listen to us online at weft.org. My name is Ben. This is the program where we're at. This is a pre-recorded show. The date is Monday, August 30th, 2021.
A reminder that the views and opinions expressed on air are solely those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT Champaign, Prairie Air Incorporated, station management, the board of directors, or the WEFT associates.
And before we continue with our program, which will mostly be coverage that I got from protest about what happened with the eviction moratorium, the Supreme Court ruled in a 6-3 ruling that did away with the national eviction moratorium. Now, Illinois' eviction moratorium will be ending on September 18th. Now, if you or somebody you know needs assistance, you can, if you would like, go to the for Illinois Rental Assistance. There is the Illinois Housing, I believe it's IHDA.org, and that's the Illinois Rental Payment Program. On the website's Illinois Housing Development Authority, so you would type in, if you would like or need to, the URL IHDA.org. I think there is that give you like an about page or a video that there should be information assisting with Illinois rental payment, housing assistance, that those sorts of things. And yes, the eviction moratorium in Illinois will end on September 18th. I believe that will be Saturday. So Saturday 18th is when the eviction moratorium will end in Illinois. But we're going to go into some public service announcements before I play some audio from protest, which will be the most of the hour of the show.
And just to let you know, the Champaign City Council will be having a study session on Garden Hills on August 31st, Tuesday, August 31st, starting at 7 p.m. Again, the Champaign City Council will be having a study session on Garden Hills on their meeting on August 31st, starting at 7 p.m. If you need a lift to the study session, you can, if you would like to, post hashtag Garden Hills Ride on Facebook, and I'm guessing Twitter, if you need assistance and transportation. Again, Champaign City study session on Garden Hills on their August 31st Tuesday meeting, starting at 7 p.m.
Here are some public service announcements. Please consider supporting the programming you love. WEFT will gladly accept that vehicle you've been looking to get rid of. Our vehicle donation program provides an effortless option to support WEFT Community Radio. You can give CARS, C-A-R-S, Charitable Adult Rides and Services, a call at 1-855-500-RIDE. Or fill out the secure donation form at careasy.org. Just remember to designate WEFT as the nonprofit beneficiary of your gift. WEFT truly appreciates supporters like you. For information about events and showings at the Virginia Theater, go to thevirginia.org. That's Virginia, like the state, V-I-R-G-I-N-I-A, thevirginia.org. There is a protocol given the COVID-19 situation. The Champaign Park District announced that effective immediately, all individuals will be required to wear face masks while inside any park district facility, and that includes the Virginia Theater, regardless of vaccination status. These measures were implemented after the CDC and Illinois Department of Public Health renewed the recommendations for indoor masking in all regions with substantial and high rates of transmission of the COVID-19 virus. As of July 29th, Champaign County, Illinois' rates of transmissions was classified as substantial. The Champaign Park District will continue to monitor local transmissions rates and recommendations by public health officials and will update the public on any changes to the mask requirement. All other existing Park District COVID-19 guidance remains unchanged. And for information about what's happening and showing at the Virginia Theater, such as 2021 Ebert Fest And for information about if you're interested in buying a pass, again, go to the Virginia website, thevirginia.org.
One more announcement. The Urbana City Council will be having their usual Monday City Council meeting at 7 p.m., so right at the end of my show. And one of the items on the agenda, I believe, is a resolution about approving an intergovernmental agreement for project and fiscal management of the American Rescue Fund Plan Act. So that's going to be an important item and something to keep an eye out on and watch. So again, the Urbana City Council will be having their City Council meeting right at the end of my show at 7 p.m. tonight. A reminder that the views and opinions expressed on air are solely those of a speaker and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT Champaign, Prairie Air Incorporated, Station Management, the Board of Directors, or the WEFT Associates. A reminder that the views and opinions expressed on air are solely those of a speaker and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT Champaign, Prairie Air Incorporated, Station Management, the Board of Directors, or the WEFT Associates.
What you're about to hear next is a protest against the Supreme Court's ruling doing away with the eviction moratorium that happened in Urbana. That happened Saturday.
Let's get started with some chants. The first chant is, brick by brick, wall by wall, the racist jail system has to fall. Brick by brick, wall by wall, the racist jail system has to fall. Brick by brick, wall by wall, the racist jail system has to fall.
Brick by brick, wall by wall, the racist jail system has to fall. Brick by brick, wall by wall, the racist jail system has to fall.
Woo! Woo! Alright, second chant. Hey, hey, ho, ho. Cops and schools have got to go. Hey, hey,
ho, ho. Cops and schools have got to go. Hey, hey, ho, ho. Cops and schools have got to go. Hey, hey, ho, ho. Cops and schools have got to go. Hey, hey, ho, ho. Cops and schools have got to go.
Woo! All right. Now I'm going to pass the mic off to my comrade, Sia.
Okay, so thanks for coming out today. My name is Ciel, and I'm an organizer with the Party for Socialism and Liberation. We're out here today to take a stand against racist incarceration, the abysmal conditions in the local jail, and the coming wave of elections. Let's start off with some facts. Jails aren't like prisons. People can be held in jail for weeks without ever facing trial. In fact, right here in Champaign, the average jail stay is over 2 weeks. The Champaign County Jail contracts out healthcare work to a company called Correct Care Solutions. Correct Care Solutions has been hit with over 140 lawsuits for a failure to provide, you guessed it, correct care. And our local sheriff's department has been detaining so many people, they aren't able to follow proper COVID protocols. No wonder incarcerated people are 5 times likelier to be infected with the coronavirus. Our bond reminder system doesn't work, the jail phones are expensive, and if you show up to post bail, they leave you standing outside in the heat for hours. But these problems aren't even new. Even before COVID, people were dying in the Sheriff Dustin D. Yeoman's jail. Toya Frazier was denied medical care for hours by the deputies and left to die in her cell in 2016. Veronica Horsted and Paul Clifton died in the Sheriff's custody as well. Correct Care Solutions has been widely reported to be missing jails for at least 40 hours a week, leaving medical care for the remainder of that time in the hands of correctional officers. Our jail system has a legal track record of disregarding the basic human rights of Black people and other working and arrest people who cops and deputies detain before they've ever even been charged with a crime. If you've lived in Champaign-Urbana for a long time, you probably know folks who were detained unjustly or abused by so-called law enforcement. And if you're new here or an incoming student, you better read up on what's going on in your big community. We're out here today demanding the Sheriff's Department takes action to improve the bond process. They've got to fix the automated phone system so folks know how much their bond is. They've got to provide shelter for folks waiting to bail people out. And they've got to waive unjust court fees. But that's not all. Thanks to the Illinois Pretrial Fairness Act, cash bail is actually going to be abolished in Illinois soon. So this means we're going to end pretrial detention. We don't want more deputies, and we don't want more jails in our community. We call on the sheriff to commit to that. Spend money on social programs to prevent crime and allow resources for our communities to grow.
Yes.
Holding law enforcement accountable starts with a restructured and strengthened civilian police review board. We want the board to consist of community members, not cops, and to have the authority to review all complaints of police misconduct. This demand isn't new at all. It was formulated last summer by the Champaign County Anti-Racist in response to the violent arrest of Aaliyah Lewis and, much earlier, the shooting of Kwan Harrington. The local police departments have an extended track record, just like the sheriff, of a history of racist violence, particularly with regard to black residents of Champaign-Urbana. We want those cops out of our schools, and we want the city to scrap its contract with the Fraternal Order of Police, which takes city resources and fights against any accountability. These demands go hand in hand with the proposal of a new local coalition, the Ubuntu Project, to implement racial bias testing and revamp the hiring process. Thanks to the Fraternal Order and the federal 33 program, local police departments have access to military surplus. This means weapons of war used in the illegal invasions of Iraq and Afghanistan are on our streets and can be used against poor and oppressed people here too. We want these weapons off of our streets, and we want local law enforcement to stop getting military gear from the federal government and cooperating with federal agencies like Immigration, Customs Enforcement to harass and to deport our undocumented neighbors.
Hell yeah! Woo!
Last, but certainly not least, we are here today to demand that not a single one of our community members is evicted from their home and forced to live on the street. If you haven't heard, Biden's Supreme Court has just struck down the federal eviction moratorium, and our own state moratorium is set to expire on the 18th of September. In just a few weeks, our community is about to be hit with a wave of evictions which will worsen the public health situation, destroy the local economy, and harm our neighbors. Evictions would be a major threat to public safety and public health. And the county sheriff has the power to stop all of this. So that's where we're right across the street from his Urbana office. Because he can announce that he won't send out his deputies to carry out evictions, just like the Cook County sheriff did at the start of the pandemic. The ball is absolutely in his court. He and the county can, in one move, demonstrate to the people that they're taking the first step towards truly serving and protecting. Now, even after that, they've still got a long way to go, but at least it's a start. All of these demands that we're calling for today are deeply intertwined. They each individually get at a surface problem caused by a deeper root issue, an issue that we call white supremacist capitalism. The conditions that incarcerated and previously incarcerated individuals are forced to live in, the casual indifference towards our community, the over-policing caused by that indifference, and the failure to put people's lives over the profits of landlords, all contribute to substantial losses in quality of life faced by already oppressed communities. We are gathered here, protesting today, to give power and control back to the people in our communities. People like us who showed up today. All power to the people.
Give it up for CL! Alright, let's do another chant. Power to the people. Power to the people.
Power to the people.
Power to the people. Power to the people. Power to the people.
Whoa! Alright, next up, Gus Woods. We are very thankful to have him speak today.
We're going to test out this mic volume. Everybody can hear me? Yeah. Workers of the world, unite! Thank you, PSL, for inviting me. And thank you all for being here organizing this amazing event. Black August is a time to embrace the principles of unity and resistance. The themes of my talk today. Black August had its origins in the black movement behind California prison walls in the 1960s, led by rebels like George Jackson, W.L. Nolan, James Carr, Hugo Pinnell, Kumasi, Howard Toe, Warren Wells, and many other conscious and stand-up revolutionaries who ultimately made it safe for blacks to walk the yards of California's racist gulags. Yeah. As for the decades past, the tradition of honoring our fallen freedom fighters expanded to include commemorating revolutionary wars of resistance and self-determination, such as Harry Tubman's Underground Railroad and the Haitian Revolution, August 1791, culminating in the first free black republic of the world. On August 7, 1970, four young black freedom fighters emerged from Marin County Court with guns and hostages, provoking panic among white supremacists, but most black folks took great pride and inspiration from the sight of such courageous resistance to the ongoing brutality and murder of blacks inside and outside of prisons. Yes! 1 year later, on August 21st, 1971, in what has been established as a setup, George Jackson was murdered on the yard of San Quentin by prison guards. Thus, Black August was created in 1979 to not only honor and commemorate those who fought for our human rights, national liberation, and self-determination, it is meant to pay homage to all of our revolutionary ancestors and those still ensnared by the state, as well and evaluate our power to wage social movements for liberation. So we must look to the past, look to actions and words from George Jackson, the Black Panther Party, and their prophecy of this expanded exploitation, subjugation, social humiliation, and political polarization to chart a path towards radical transformation. George Jackson said, "So what is to be done after a revolution has failed? After our enemies have created a conservative mass society based on meaningless electoral politics, spectator sports, and a 3% annual rise in purchasing power strictly regulated to negate itself with a corresponding rise in the cost of living? What can we do with a people who have gone through the authoritarian process and come out sick to the core? Our overall task is to separate the people from the hated state. They must be made to realize that the interests of the state and the ruling class are one and the same. They must be taught to realize that the present political regime exists only to balance the productive forces within society in favor of the ruling classes. It is at the ruling class and the governing elites, including those of labor, that we must aim our votes. But what votes shall we aim? The question remains, though. How do we build resistance in these times? How do we build the votes? We cannot simply tell people to just be socialist or to care about socialist principles. We must use political education, the most revolutionary tactic at our disposal, to raise consciousness levels against our oppression, against our exploitation, so that they develop a socialist vision encountering the state. In late October 1966, the Black Panthers drafted what would become the Black Panther Party 10-point program. Beyond demanding an immediate end to police brutality and the murder of black people, the Black Panthers explicitly insist upon education for our people that exposes the true nature of this decadent American society and that teaches us our true history and our role in present society and our power. In conjunction, they demanded an educational system that will give our people a knowledge of self, because if a person does not have knowledge of themselves and their position and power in society and the world, then they have little chance to relate to anything for a social movement.
Yes!
Newton, in fact, argued that, Huey Newton argued that the main function of the party, the Panthers, is to awaken the people and teach them strategic methods of resisting the power structure. Given his contention, what might a Panther-inspired pedagogy look like today? And how might radical educators apply a pedagogy in service of challenging the anti-intellectualism, the lack of critical analysis, what we call the crisis of political education within the protest movement today, within the university, and within the working class communities? The Black Panthers launched this liberation school in 1969 as a supplement to the existing institutions, but the alternative nature of liberation schools would eventually give way to their intercommunal youth institution in 1971, an alternative educational structure intended to equip the youth
with the political, economic, and cultural analytic resources to understand who they are, raise their consciousness level, and go through an ongoing transformation.
Yes.
Without invoking it by name, the Panthers were drawing on what Brazilian educator Paulo Freire might call a pedagogy of the oppressed that culminates in transformative action upon the world. He wrote that liberation is a praxis, the action and reflection of people upon their world in order to transform it. Conscientiousness is not an exercise in intellectual calisthenics, but rather entails the process of cultivating a critical consciousness through education, and must begin from a perspective of a person existing in the world with their power. And Huey Newton was a fan of this. He wrote, quote, "The institution's primary task then is not so much to transmit or receive doctrine from past experience as to provide the young with the ability and technical training that will make it possible for them to evaluate their heritage, their power for themselves, to translate what is known into their own experiences, and thus discover more reality their own," end quote. So thus, our task for Black August Resistance is to conceptualize a vision of political education for the masses, where radical intellectuals and working class organizers work together to create and conduct a rigorous and broad program complete with community studies, personal interviews, historical primary documents, canvassing training, organizer workshops, town hall meetings, study groups, and alternative media. All must be done with goal-setting social movements in mind. Goal-setting social movements, meaning that we eliminate these petty quarrels and differences that have fractured the left over decades. To close with one more prophecy from George Jackson, Lenin asked the question, "What is to be done?" And George Jackson answered this before his death, quote, "You must settle your quarrels, come together, understand the reality of our situation, understand that fascism is already here, that people are dying who could be saved, that generations more will live poor, butchered, half-lives if you fail to act. Do what must be done, discover your humanity and your love and revolution," end quote. For us on the left to ignore this is to concede to the power of capitalism and oppression. What side of history will you be on? The choice is ours. Power to the people. Free the land. Thank you.
Gus Woods, everyone. One more time.
Hi everyone, thanks for coming out today. My name is Harald, I'm an organizer with the Party for Socialism and Liberation. I want to start today by bringing up Afghanistan, a 20-year-long imperialist war carried out by the United States, which recently ended in disaster. It's been all over the news, and it's easy to see this as something happening thousands of miles away, but we got to think about the impacts that the wars in Afghanistan, Iraq, and other countries have on our communities. Biden ordered the withdrawal of about 2,500 troops from Afghanistan, but we can't forget that as recently as 2011, there were over 100,000 United States military personnel in Afghanistan. 100,000 troops. That's not just troops, that's weapons, that's trucks, armored vehicles. And now where does all that equipment go when the war ends? I'll tell you, it goes back home. It goes here. My comrade CL mentioned something called the 1033 program.
That's a program operated by the Department of Defense, which allows law enforcement agencies to acquire military weapons. And it's used by countless law enforcement agencies around the country, including law enforcement agencies in Champaign County, including the Champaign County Sheriff's Department. And the law enforcement agencies in Champaign County have acquired over 100 assault rifles, a military truck, and a 35,000-pound armored vehicle from the U.S. military in the past 10 years. And this, I want to draw particular attention to this 35,000-pound armored vehicle. It's called a Mine-Resistant Ambush Protected Vehicle, or MRAP, constructed to defend in Iraq and Afghanistan against landmines and improvised explosive devices. So let me ask you, why do we have one of these in our community? Are there lots of landmines on campus? Are there roadside bombs on Green Street? So why do we have an MRAP in our community? Damn right. I'll get back to that in a second. Because another thing recently happened in Afghanistan, there was a terrorist attack at the airport in Kabul. That was all over the news. And under the cover of that terrorist attack being all over the news, the Supreme Court decided to strike down the eviction moratorium, putting millions of hardworking Americans, including many of our friends and neighbors in Champaign County, at risk of eviction. Illinois has a state moratorium on evictions. It expires on September 18th. And so starting September 18th, we in Champaign County are going to be facing a massive wave of evictions. So let me go back to the question I just asked. Why are there weapons of war in our community? The answer is, because starting September 18th, the Champaign County Sheriff's Department is going to go to war with this community, throwing our friends and neighbors out on the street just because they're down on our luck.
Hell no! They want a civil war!
We don't want that. We just want to live in peace. We want to live in peace here. We want people to live in peace overseas.
Yes.
We don't want those armored vehicles, those rifles in Kabul, and we don't want them here. The Champaign County Sheriff's Department is taking those weapons of war, and they're going to go on the street, and they're going to throw out our community members from their homes starting September 18th if no one does anything. And that's why we are demanding not only all law enforcement agencies in the county cease participation in the 1033 program, but we are demanding that the Champaign County Sheriff's Department refuses to carry out evictions. We don't want war overseas. We don't want war here. We just want to live in peace. We want our friends and our neighbors to live in peace.
Yes.
We don't want evictions.
Yes.
And I want to tell everyone right now that September 18th, we're going to be facing a wave of evictions. We're the Party for Socialism and Liberation. We're going to be on the front lines of this fight against evictions.
Woo!
We're going to fight tooth and nail to make sure none of our friends and neighbors, none of our community members in Champaign County are thrown out of their homes. That's what we're demanding. We are demanding no evictions. That's what we want, and we want it now.
Yes.
And if we don't get it, we're going to shut this county down. We are going to fight until elected officials and law enforcement agree to protect our community against evictions. So let me hear you. What do we want? No more evictions. When do we want it?
No.
What do we want?
No more evictions.
When do we want it?
No.
What do we want?
No more evictions.
When do we want it?
No.
If we don't get it, shut it down.
Shut it down!
We don't get it!
Shut it down!
If we don't coming out. Thank you for listening. Again, we're demanding that the Champaign County Sheriff's Department and all law enforcement agencies return these weapons of war and refuse to carry out evictions in our communities. And September 18th, we are going to be on the front lines. We are going to be fighting to keep people in their homes. We're not going to stand for this wave of evictions. It is a disaster. It is a disaster for the local economy. It is a disaster for public safety. It is a disaster for public health. It is a disaster for human rights. And we are not going to stand for evictions in our community. Thank you all for coming out. This is not going to be the last action because no one has acted to protect our community beyond September 18th. So we're going to be out here fighting to make sure the Sheriff's Department doesn't carry out evictions, to make sure there's a new eviction moratorium. And I just want to say that that's our demand right now, is no evictions right now. But there should never be evictions. There is enough housing for everyone. Housing is a human right, and we should ever not be demanding no evictions. All right, I'm gonna pass it on to the next speaker. Thanks so much. Remember, we're gonna fight against evictions. If we don't get it, we're gonna shut it down. Woo! Woo!
Thank you, Ron. All right, get ready. It's a new chance. For you, for me, no 1033. For you,
for me, no 1033. For you,
for me, no 1033.
For you,
for me,
no 1033.
Woo!
Here's another one for you.
Fight, fight, fight! Housing is a human right.
Fight, fight, fight!
Housing is a human right.
Fight, fight, fight!
Housing is a human right.
Fight, fight, fight!
Housing is a human right.
Woo! Fight, fight, fight!
Housing is a human right.
All right. Next up, Jared.
Hello, everybody. I got a few more chants for us real quick. Show me what democracy looks like.
This is what democracy looks like.
Show me what democracy looks like.
This is what democracy looks like.
Show me what democracy looks like.
This is what democracy looks like.
Show me what community looks like.
This is what community looks like.
Show me what community looks like.
This is what community looks like.
I thank you, everybody. I thank you all for being here today. I know for a lot of us may not have been involved in this struggle until last summer during the Black Lives Matter movement and the murders of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, and so many others were so intense in our minds and the movement was most active. But I thank you all for being here because we all realize that there's still a lot of work that needs to be done across our nation and in our own communities. As we stand here across from the Sheriff's Office and the County Courthouse, I think it's necessary to know that these buildings only represent a small fraction of the system that brutalizes and terrorizes Black and Brown communities. I've heard all the talk about just a few bad apples, that a few bad apples ruin the bunch, but what I always think is, why do we have bad apples at all? Apples don't ruin themselves. Something had to be wrong. Who sold them to us? Who grew them? And the same is true for our police. The police just do the dirty work. They don't arm and fund themselves, and they don't create the laws and rules most of the time. To figure out who, I'm gonna give a quick history lesson. As many of us have learned, the police in the US started out as slave catchers. But they only caught people who were already enslaved in the United States. They weren't the ones who caught and kidnapped people from Africa and then profited off of owning them. The police didn't create the legal system that protected slavery. Neither did they make fortunes off of the products of slavery. It was the entire political economic system built to control and profit off of Black people and Black lives. In schools, they might have told you that our democracy was founded off of Greek and Roman governments. But what they never told you was that Greek and Roman republics were slave republics. And that's how our country was founded, by a small, wealthy, white, property-owning slave drivers where only property-owning white men could vote. Over time, this built wealth in the hands of not only slave owners, but banks and factories who made money off of enslaved peoples. Banks and factories and plantation owners owned by a white wealthy elite, same to those who wrote our U.S. Constitution still in use, and make up both political parties, Democratic and Republican. Those were the foundations of our country and the police who enforce its laws. The oppression of black and brown people isn't because of the police alone, it's because of the entire system run by Democrats and Republicans who arm and fund the police, as seen in our town alone with the $5,000 bonuses just given to all new hires at the police department, and the MRAP that we just discussed that was given by our own local governments. The political economic system run by both Democratic and Republican parties who give orders to the police through legal codes that allow the Supreme Court to strike down the eviction moratorium and protect the businesses that pollute our own communities, like here in Fifth and Hill, and allow gentrification by real estate companies. So Democratic and Republican parties who've held political power, they've been around for 150 years, and this is the society they created. One that preserved the legacy of slavery and racism instead of destroying it. It was the Democrats and Republicans who wrote into the 13th Amendment a way to preserve slavery as a legal punishment, and then 120 years later worked together to criminalize and over-police black communities so that black people could be used as slaves again. Who redlined urban communities for decades to keep segregation a major issue? Who created mass incarceration? It was the entire system. So we need to understand that the sheriff's office, along with all levels of government dominated by the two political parties, is not on our side. There has been progress in our country, but it came from our political institutions. They are the gatekeepers of power, but it's the people who shape history. It's the people. And that's what Black August is about. 400 years ago, when enslaved Africans were first brought to America, it started 400 years of resistance. We're taught in school that slavery ended because of Lincoln and the Republicans, but that's not true. He didn't want to end slavery. He only wanted to contain it in order to preserve law and order and unity of the country. Slavery ended because of resistance from black people across the country who fought in slave rebellions like Nat Turner, or those who escaped to freedom and worked tirelessly to free other black people, and those who sabotaged Southern war efforts during the Civil War and fought directly in the war. They only came to the conclusion that slavery should end in the United States because Lincoln realized that it was the masses of people who wanted slavery to end, and that he couldn't win the war without the support of the people. 100 years later, segregation didn't end because of the Democratic presidents like LBJ, but because of black people who rose up, like MLK, Malcolm X, the Black Panther Party, Huey Newton, who engaged in civil disobedience and organizing their communities. And defended them in the Black Panther Party and Black Liberation Army. And just recently, last April, we hit another achievement as justice was carried out on the murder of George Floyd. But I know a lot of us were worried back then. We were worried that despite a murder occurring on broad daylight, on video, with multiple witnesses, he could still walk free, and hundreds of police officers still walk free today. But even when justice was so obvious to the people, that it would not be carried out by our so-called justice system. And that's because, as history shows, the political economic system was never made to serve the people, but the rich, still mostly white elite, who created the system, who I was simply just called capitalists. A capitalist can defraud the entire country for billions, like they did in 2008, and get away free. But George Floyd was murdered over a counterfeited $20 bill. But last year we got a taste of real justice, and that was because of the power of resistance, which comes from the power of the people. The power of the people is a power that's stronger than slaveholders, stronger than segregation, the police, racism, and capitalism. It is the power of the people that has shaped history and moved it forward. It's mass movements that have power. And that is the power that we must keep and preserve. Not a power that we can only use in crises, but a power that we must use all the time, all power to the people. Democrats might be more progressive, but despite Joe Biden and all his lackeys controlling all levels of federal government, they still don't serve us. No action on climate change, police reform, healthcare, or education, despite the U.S. being massively in favor of them. Mass deportations still occur under Biden.
massive arms deals still occur with Israel? Power in their hands only serves themselves, never us. Only when power belongs to the people can the people progress. And what I'm talking about when I say power to the people is the power to determine our own futures. The power for black communities to not be brutalized by white cops who come from outside of town. Power for indigenous communities to stop oil pipelines being built on their land. Power for poor people to demand better working and living conditions. The power for people to resist and protect themselves. That is real freedom. By being involved in our communities and strengthening them, by politically organizing and standing in solidarity with oppressed people, that's how we take the power back. Make sure that politicians of any political party who don't support the people do not get elected and do not pass their laws damaging our communities. But even if they do get elected and pass their laws, it won't matter. This is a struggle that's been going on for 400 years. We'll fight for another 400 that leads to liberation. And we have something that they don't. We have the power of the people. Because there ain't no power like the power of the people, because the power of the people don't stop.
Ain't no power like the power of the people, because the power of the people don't stop.
Thank you, everybody. And that's what we try to do in PSL. We're trying to build and organize the power of the people. So our county board members who continue to increase the funding of the police and who openly mock us for protesting here, they don't understand what we know. They don't have what we have. Because we know that housing and jobs are crime prevention, and so is investing in our communities instead of occupying them.
Hell yeah!
So we've been building People Power here, working with the Champaign County Bailout Coalition to bail people up from jail, Silver Hearts to distribute food to low-income black communities, and with Swift to bring workforce training to our communities. And by keeping an eye on our elected officials instead of just every 4 years, to make sure that they serve the people and not themselves. So, join us in any way that you can. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Get on our email list, come out to our protests, get involved, join the party, and join the fight for oppressed people and marginalized communities. Thank you.
Jared, everyone. And like Jared said, being with us after the everything, just sign up for our email list. Alright? When black lives are under attack, what do we do?
Stand up for
them! When renters' lives are under attack, what do we do?
Stand up for them!
When immigrants are under attack, what do we do?
Stand up for them!
When tenants' rights are under attack, what do we do?
Stand up for them!
Alright, next up, we have Hakeem.
What do we want?
Yeah.
When do we want it?
Yeah.
If we don't get it,
yeah.
Fred Hampton said something crucial about revolution that we must always remember. Real revolution is about building after the revolution is done and survival pending revolution. The demands of the Black August demands, the demands of the Ubuntu Project, and the demands to stop evictions are all plans and demands for survival. Survival. It's so hard as a people to just simply always survive. We've been surviving COVID. We've been surviving mass incarceration. We've been surviving capitalism for 400, 500 years. Yet here we are today, and here the people are rising up to ensure that we can continue to save lives. That's what this is about. Just survival. Not just survival, but survival pending revolution. Survival pending liberation. How can we be at revolution if we are not there? We must fight for those that cannot make it to the next day, for the people on the street who will, unfortunately, not be alone with these mass evictions that are going to happen. They will happen. America is evil and will do evil things. It will happen. But we must organize where we are at the local level to ensure that we can force this office, this city, both cities, this county, to ensure that we will have no evictions in Champaign County. That we can assure of. We might not be able to do it in Florida. We might not be able to do it in Mississippi. But I believe in the power of Champaign. The power, the people power. I've experienced and witnessed it ever since being a freshman here at the U of I. And the organizing, the love that is here, the fact that we've all been out here, I'm seeing similar faces from a year ago when the initial rebellion, the initial uprising against this elitist system in Champaign. But we must continue to fight. We must continue to love each other. And we must continue to raise our voices loud in support of demands of survival pending revolution. Thank you.
Give it up one more time for Hakeem. How we all feeling? Good. All right. Next up, we have Alan.
Solidarity, everybody. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Alrighty. So we had two previous speakers allude to something that I'm going to be very direct about. This was from CL. This was from Haki. Our sheriff, Dustin Herman, suspended evictions in March of 2020 without authorization from the state. If we want to stop evictions in Champaign County, we have to tell Sheriff Dustin that protecting the people of this county is more important than his re-election. We have dozens of elected officials signed onto an open letter calling him for suspending evictions again. It's time for the sheriff to do the right thing in this county. National politics is a foregone calculus without having these local wins. We need to show that our sheriff will suspend evictions. We need to show neighboring counties that they can suspend evictions. And through that, we can actually have the local upwards delegate to our home deaf senators to tell them we need a national eviction moratorium through the duration of this pandemic.
Solidarity. Couldn't have said it better myself. All right, finally we have... Want to see it. Finally, we have Eddie from the DSA.
Yo! Power to the people.
Yeah.
Equity now.
Yes.
Not now, but right now.
Yes.
As it's already been alluded to by past speakers, September 18th looms over our heads, all of our heads. This is not an isolated problem. If you want a similar occurrence that could give you some type of inkling of what we truly are facing, way back when, on April Fool's Day nonetheless, the ICC decided that they were not going to continue to protect people's utilities. Not soon after, about the 15th of that month, when mass utility shutoffs started to happen, we had a rise in crime right after the fact. And as state moratoriums across the country fell, crime rose in those places along with it. Now, take into account, those people still had shelter. Think about that. they still had shelter. We're talking about millions of people displaced en masse with no alternative to help them survive. You tell me what are you gonna do when the rescue, you got kids at home. What are you gonna do to protect your family members?
Go crazy!
Anything, right? Put your back against the wall, you don't swing, right? You know what that turns out into? Robberies. That turns out into death. If you did not know, the price of inequity is death. I am the campaign lead for Match the Meal, or as known as the Swift Push. I am the Solidarity Committee lead for the CUDSA. I want to say thank you to the PSL for adding on their labor on this front, the GEO, also the YDSA. We stand together to positively help the survivability of Black folks here in CU. Through this program, it is a zero tuition, zero fee program, eliminating these elitist paywall structures that keep Black folks out of skill attainment, the things that allow people to build on their own accord, the things that turn renters into owners, the things that ultimately en masse build a social economic power base. How many of you have been to a city council meeting? So, I just wanna check and see, hopefully I'm not weird when I've noticed this. Because I've been to quite a few. One thing that I noticed, be it Urbana or Champaign, you don't see the richest people in the county in that room, do you? You don't see those people from those neighborhoods in that room, do you? You know why? Because their social and economic base talks for them. They don't need to be there. The police act on their accord in their neighborhood. Why? Because their social economic base demands it. Our positionality as Black folks across this country has not been as such. Thus, I do endorse a program that highlights self-determination, personal sovereignty, the ability to build on your own terms, the ability to decide what your community looks like, and ultimately force the city, government, state, federal, and police departments to interact with Black communities differently. The reason why this push exists is because here in Champaign County, at Parkland, where this SWIFT program is, we've only seen 52 people go through it in the last year. As a comparative basis, it is part of a state program called the State Equity Workforce Initiative. Across 17, including Parkland, are programs just like SWIFT. And in those programs, they have seen enrollment of 200 plus. Why not here? It is thoroughly unjust, and it is twittering for the people to put something like that here and then not promote the access to it. This lazy liberalism continues to plague our communities, and I don't know about you, but I've had enough. On this day, let that empty symbolism die.
Yeah!
In the course of 2 months, me as a part of the DSA and other members and members of the PSL have been hitting the neighborhood cars only for 1 day a week each, for about an hour each. We already have well over 300 signatures. We have already matched the enrollment
of this last term. They put it on us at the Urbana City Council. They told us that they wanted to see us do it. The same trope that these governments have always used when it comes down to equity and equality and justice for black folks. So we're always told that we gotta do it. We're always left up to it. So we took that challenge head on. And soon we're gonna show them the bearing of that fruit. Equity now. Equity right now. I don't have to tell you that most of the people who are up for these evictions that are going to go out in mass look like me. I am down and willing and been fighting to keep from this bloody worst case scenario from happening. I joined the Wherever Shutoff because I knew that mostly black people would be affected. I started this push because black people in this county and beyond need to be able to have the tools to utilize and realize their own peace of freedom and sovereignty. They deserve that instead of being entrapped. We must create alternatives for people in this place and across the state and across this country. We have to have it. And I fight to that end. Yes. Solidarity to all in the fight for equity and justice. My name is Eddie Pratt Jr. I am not hard to find. If you are standing, I'm standing with you. Solidarity, love. Thank you.
Solidarity, all right. Okay, a couple more chants and we'll wrap this up. Whose street?
Our street.
Whose city?
Our city.
Whose county?
Our county.
Whose street?
Our street.
Whose city?
Our city.
Whose county?
Our county.
Whoa. Woo. Give the people what they need, no evictions guaranteed. Give the people what they need,
no evictions guaranteed.
Give the people what they need,
no evictions guaranteed.
Just a reminder that the views and opinions expressed on air are solely those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT, Champaign, Prairie Air Incorporated, Station Management, the Board of Directors, or the WEFT Associates. And that wraps up this programming of Where We Are At here on WEFT 90.1 FM Radio. Please stay tuned for more programming. Take care. Have a good night.
Hi, this is Jeff Tweedy from Wilco, and you're listening to 90.1 FM Champaign, WEFT.
Programming at WEFT is brought to you in part by Minuteman Press. Whether you need signs for an event, thousands of full-color flyers, or personalized promotional items, Minuteman Press can make it happen in time and on budget. They offer an extensive line of products as well as design services. Minuteman Press may be reached online at cuprinting.com, in person at 905 South Neal Street in Champaign, or by calling 217-355-0500.
And I always like to let you know that if your organization has an upcoming fundraiser or wish to provide a service to the community,
and be it in a music or art event, workshop, or educational seminar, simply send a short script to WEFT at psa@weft.org, and we'll be sure to include it in our on-air public service announcements. You can also drop